We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the New Testament, to the Acts of the Apostles, and to the chapter 9. The Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 9, of course, we have in the first part of the chapter the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 17. Acts 9, verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying a wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter that we read together, Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 9. We, of course, today remember the conflicts of the past and the terrible cost in human life and suffering. However, after each of those conflicts, there was a massive program of rebuilding not only of homes and economies, but also rebuilding of military strength. And of course, every human heart is at enmity or war with God. And coming to the cross, our hearts were conquered, and we also found peace. And though that conflict is over, yet there must now be a rebuilding. There must also be that strengthening of our inner man. The Apostle Paul recognized that, and we read concerning him in Acts chapter 9 and in the verse 22, "But Saul increased the more in strength." And with these words before us, let's just bow together in a word of prayer, and let us just ask for the presence and the help of the Lord this morning. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice at the cross. Enmity was taken away. We rejoice that we found peace, peace that passeth all understanding. We thank thee that at the cross we not only received peace with God, but we rejoice that we all sing members. Pursuing them to Damascus, he suddenly found his path blocked by the risen Savior, his countenance outshining the noonday sun. His voice struck fear and dread into his heart. Falling to the ground, he in that instant lost his sight. Finally picking himself up out of the dust, he came encased in a world of darkness into the city of Damascus. Entering into the street called Straight, he there burst into prayer, his words floating up into the heavens, his sight returning. The Holy Spirit suddenly fell upon him, being baptized and receiving visions of things which were to come to pass. Luke then tells us in that verse 22 that he increased the more in strength. In the original, the phrase, the more here, is exceedingly strong. It literally means still more. And rather than standing spiritually still, he, with the passing of time, he became stronger and stronger. There was that continual growing in grace, that becoming stronger with every passing day in his faith. And you see, conversion is not merely the end of an old life, but it is the beginning of a new life. And as in the case of Paul, there must be that continual growing stronger in our faith. Indeed, writing to the Jews who have been scattered abroad, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The word grow here being a present imperative, it was a command. He was here demanding that there would be that continual growth in their lives. To their faith, they were to add virtue, and to virtue, they were to add knowledge, and to knowledge, they were to add temperance. And you see, as well as going for the Lord, there must be a growing in the Lord, a becoming stronger in our faith with every passing day. The great writer Thomas Watson said, "A good Christian is not like Hezekiah's son that went backwards, nor Joshua's son that stood still, but is always advancing in holiness and increasing with the increase of God." And we, as believers, were not to be going backwards, nor are we to be standing still, but we are to be going forward. We are to be growing in our faith with every passing day, becoming stronger in Christ, becoming stronger in our knowledge of the Savior. And I wonder, child of God, this morning, has there been that advancement in your life? As you stop this morning and you look back and you say, "Preacher, I'm not what I used to be. I'm stronger in the faith. I have a greater knowledge of Christ than I had even a week ago." There is to be that growing in grace, that becoming stronger with every passing day. The question therefore arises, how can we grow in grace? How can we become strong? Well, we have here a perfect example. With the example of the Apostle Paul. And so I want to draw your attention this morning to his growth. I want you to notice firstly here the causes of spiritual growth. In the world of nature, if a plant is to grow, it must put its roots down into rich and fertile soil. And seeking to grow in grace, Paul put down deep roots. You notice here that there was a pondering of Christ. In order to get a full picture of events following his conversion, we must go forward into the book of Galatians. There Paul said in chapter 1, verse 17, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia." Why this visit to Arabia is not mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, yet taking place before his coming to Jerusalem, it fits chronologically just prior to the words of our text. And coming into these rugged, desolate plains, we find him giving himself to the study of the Word of God. pondering it in the light of the Savior's sufferings and death. We're now told here that he increased in strength. There was a growing in grace. And you see, the Word of God is not only pure, but it is profitable. It nourishes the soul, enabling it to grow in grace and in wisdom. Indeed, urging the Jewish converts to cast aside all malice and evil speaking. Peter then turning from that which was negative to that which was positive, he said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in the verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." I'm sure over the years you have heard in connection with milk slogans such as "all you need is milk," or "a healthy treat for all," or "beyond nutrition." You see, milk not only satisfies the crying child, but it strengthens his bones, enabling him to stand and to walk, and even then to run. And as such, enlightening the Word of God unto milk, Peter was reminding them that the Word of God was able not only to satisfy them, but it was also able to strengthen them. You see, without a desiring and a digesting of the Word of God, there will never be a developing in the work of God. It's as we study the Scriptures, as we practice the Scriptures, that we are enabled to go for God and that we are enabled to grow for the Lord. You know, a group of tourists on one occasion were brought into a little old village with many thatch cottages. And as they came into the village, they saw an old gentleman sitting beside a fence with a long beard. Being tourists, they went over to the man, and one of them turned to the man and he said, "Tell me this, were any great men born in this village?" The old man thought for a moment and then he said, "No, only babies." You see, there are no instant giants in the faith. It is only as we read the Scriptures, as we study the Scriptures, as we meditate upon the Scriptures, as we put them into practice in our daily lives, that we are enabled to grow in the faith, becoming strong, able to overcome those trials and temptations. George Mueller, after having read through the Scriptures 100 times, he said, "I look upon it as a lost day when I have not a good time over the Word of God." What happens when you take food away from your child? Your child will grow weak, and then they will become sickly. And if they have no food, the life within will eventually even wither away. And stop reading the Scriptures, stop studying the Scriptures, and you will stop growing. But more than that, believer, you will become weak, and then you'll begin to stumble, and then you'll begin to fall. Paul here was growing in strength, reading the Scriptures, studying the Word of God, getting alone with God. There was evident growth in grace. And child of God, if you're going to grow in grace, you need to study the Scriptures. Not just look at the Scriptures, or not even just read a few verses now and again, but you need to read the Scriptures systematically. And you need to think about what you're reading. And then you need to pray over them. My Paul here, there was a pondering of Christ. But more than that, there was a proclaiming of Christ, setting forth the secrets of spiritual growth. We read verse 22, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem." The phrase "the more" takes us here back into the previous verses. There we find the Apostle Paul returning from the deserts of Arabia, re-entering the city. He visited the various synagogues And despite the people's hatred and opposition, he was unable to maintain a low profile. Opening his mouth, he began to preach Christ and him crucified, and declaring him as the Son of God. We're told that he grew in grace and became stronger. You see, the speaking of the truth not only has a profound effect upon the sinner, but it has a profound effect upon the saint. It enables him to grow in grace. Indeed, the Ephesian believers being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and in the verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And he reminded them that speaking and living the truth would enable them to grow, becoming more mature and becoming stronger in their faith. You see, the broadcasting of the gospel is beneficial not only to the sinner, but it's beneficial to the saint. It matures his graces. The hymn writer, taking up his pen, wrote, "Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." You see, witnessing is important, not just to your neighbor, but, believer, it's also important even to you. It's important to you. It will enable you to grow in grace. You know, if you're to grow physically, you need to exercise. And when you go to witness for the Savior, you've got to exercise. You've got to exercise your brain. You've got to memorize verses of Scripture. You've got to work out in your head the great doctrines of grace so that you can present them with clarity and with simplicity. And more than that, to be a witness, it also requires great courage. The more you think, the more you reason, the more you speak, the more you will grow in grace. The stronger you will become in your Christian life. You see, believer, your witness is important. It's important for your own soul. If you're to grow in grace, you need to bear witness for the Lord. You need to speak a word for Christ. You need to study the Scriptures. But not only was there a proclaiming of Christ, but surely there was a pleading with Christ. Being converted, we read there in the verse 11, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Coming into the streets of Damascus, his soul bruised and broken. My Paul had been unable to eat or drink for 3 days. His eyes closed, and the words of Christ still echoing and re-echoing in his mind. He then burst into prayer. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, we're told, "The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And from the fact that the Lord heard and the Lord answered this prayer, it must have been earnest. In praying with all of his heart, we're told that he grew in grace and became strong. You see, prayer not only stirs the Savior, but it strengthens the soul. It enables it to grow. Emphasizing that, the prophet said away back in Isaiah chapter 40 in the verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Waiting on the Lord in prayer, their strength would be renewed. They would become also as the eagle, which is able, not only able to soar up into the heavens, but who with one stroke of its wing was able to slay a man. More than that, they would be able to run and they would not grow weary. You see, prayer is iron to the soul. It strengthens its sinews and its muscles. Realizing that, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he dedicated not just 3 hours, but he said he dedicated the 3 best hours of the day to prayer. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, used to urge his hearers not only to take 15 minutes every day to listen to God and 15 minutes to talk about God, but he urged them to take 15 minutes to talk to God. You see, it's only as we talk about the Lord and we talk to the Lord that we are enabled to grow in grace and become strong. Oh, believer, today, do you lament your spiritual weakness? Maybe you're in the battle and that same sin, that same temptation has defeated you time after time after time, and you lament your weakness and you say, "Preacher, I'm no stronger, I'm no better than I was a year ago." Then, my friend, get before God's word and not only read it, but pray it. "I seek the face of God, and He will strengthen you." It is as we speak to God and speak about the Lord that we're enabled to grow in grace. Ignore His word. Ignore prayer. And you will faint along the way. Not only do we notice in these words the causes of spiritual growth, but surely we notice the consequences of spiritual growth. Passing into spiritual adulthood, Paul then come up into the streets of Damascus, and beholding him, the people were not only amazed, but you notice here he was opposed, growing in wisdom and in stature. We then read verse 23. "And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him." Their initial amazement finally giving way to petty jealousies. They took counsel against him, fearing lest his words would set the whole world on fire, destroying their religion. They opposed him. And seeking to destroy him, they first of all went up to the governor of the city. Managing to stir his heart against the gospel, he placed the entire garrison into their hands. And sealing all the city, they gradually went from street to street and house to house with that determination to slay him. You see, growing in grace, the Jews sought on every occasion to hinder him and to destroy him. And you know, the stronger we become in our faith, the stormier the seas that we sail in will become. The greater will be our trials. Indeed, growing up in grace, Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and in the verse 17 of the chapter, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Amongst those many marks were 195 scars carved into his back on 5 separate occasions by the lash of a whip laced with pieces of bone. On top of that, there were marks caused by rods, by stones, by imprisonment, and even by shipwreck. And you see, the more that Paul grew in grace, the greater was the opposition that he faced. The price of progress is always persecution. The greater our spiritual stature, the greater will be our spiritual storms. I'm sure you've often heard the old phrase, "Any old fish can float downstream." But you know, that living fish is to go up the stream, it faces the current. It has to fight every inch of the way. And believer, once you seek to grow in grace, the devil, the world, the flesh, they'll oppose you. They'll seek to stop you. And they'll seek to hinder you. I know as a young Christian, I had the foolish notion that, you know, if I grew in grace and I became strong in the Lord, the day would come that I wouldn't face as many trials. Life would be easier and the Christian path would be a lot simpler. I want to tell you, my friend, that was foolishness. The stronger you become in your faith, the more the devil will target you. And the more the devil will seek to stop you. And the devil will seek to hinder you. And if you're growing in grace, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised of opposition. But my friend, take comfort from it. Because it's an indication of growth. It's an indication you're growing stronger in your faith. He was opposed. He was also observed, because standing against the tide, we read in verse 24, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates and day and night to kill him. The Jews, having seen with their own eyes the awesome power of the gospel, they were filled with dread, fearing lest it would spread by the apostles' mouth to other cities. They placed guards at every gate of the city. And they were watching, not only for Paul leaving the city, but I believe they were also watching Paul to see if there was anything that they could accuse him of. And the world not only scorns the believer, but it spies on the believer. It watches his every move. Paul, taking up his pen and writing unto the Corinthians, he said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read, but known and read of all men. And he reminded them that their lives as epistles, or their lives as letters, were being read by all men. They were watching them. You see, our lives as believers, they're not private. Many ways public. The world is constantly watching us to see if there is anything that they can accuse us of. Not that really they want to accuse us, but they want to accuse our Lord and our Master. You know, a missionary many years ago to India couldn't learn the language. No matter how long he spent, no matter how hard he tried, he just could not master the language. Eventually, the missionary society that sent him out, they decided that if he couldn't learn the language, then he needed to come home. News breaking that he was coming home. About a dozen missionaries who served in the field with them, they wrote to the missionary society. And they said, when a convert is asked what it is to be a Christian, they reply, it's to be like Mr. So-and-so, naming that particular missionary. And while he wasn't able to speak with his lips, he spoke most clearly with his life. And I tell you, child of God, the world is watching you. It's watching your life. It's watching every move that you take. When you're standing in that company at work and someone tells the filthy joke, yes, they all may laugh, but you can be sure that they're watching out of the side of the eye to see your reaction. When that matter of dishonesty comes, they're watching to see what you say and what you do. And as we think of Paul here, they were searching, watching him with one aim, to destroy him. Believer, remember, the world is watching you. They're watching your every reaction, watching you in every situation to see how you do. Not only was he observed, he was outspoken. Look at verse 25 of the chapter. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. The phrase "the disciples" could equally be rendered "his disciples." And as such, we see that preaching, he not only confounded his enemies, but there were many of them converted. And child of God, what an encouragement there is there this morning. Our preaching Christ, our witness for the Lord is never in vain. Yes, it may bring opposition, but it will also bring conversion. Many of those who went to Wesley's meetings and Whitfield's meetings to distract from the meeting, to destroy the meeting, they were gloriously, wondrously converted. And God is able not only to confound that individual, but He's able to convert them. He's able to change them, transform them. And believer, remember, yes, when you're growing in strength, the world will be watching. They'll be seeking every opportunity to bring you down. But then lastly, I want you to notice also the characteristics of spiritual growth. This spiritual growth was not merely academic, but it was practical. You notice here that he sought the children of God. Look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. The word join there literally means to glue or to cement two things together. And rather than being just content and attending the services there, he sought to glue or cement himself to the believers there. You see, growing in grace, he gave himself to the church. He became one with the church there. And you see, as well as attending, there should be an attaching of ourselves to the local church, a becoming one with it. Writing nigh to the Hebrew converts, Paul urged them to obey them that have the rule over you. Of course, they couldn't have had the rule over them unless they had joined the church or were part of the church. And as believers, we're not to be spiritual gypsies, but being converted, growing in grace. There's to be giving of ourselves to the church, a gluing of ourselves, a becoming a member even of the church. You remember Paul, in speaking of the Corinthians, he said they gave themselves firstly to Christ and then to the church. And the believer, having given himself to Christ and growing in grace, he's then to give himself to the local church. He's to glue himself to the church, cement himself to the church, become a member even of the church. And believer, if we're growing in grace, there must be that progression. He also not only sought the children of God, he silenced the critics of God. Look at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt on Jerusalem. The word, Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. The word proving there means to put together or to combine and bringing together the various portions of scriptures and combining them. He sent his enemies into confusion. You see, the world has no answer to the Word of God. It's a sharp, two-edged sword that's able to pierce them. Believer, we have many enemies today, but this Word is able to pierce them. It's able to bring them crashing down. Oh, don't leave it by your side, but use it. He also stood courageously for God. Look at verse 29 of the chapter. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. And the more he grew in strength, the bolder he became. He no longer feared them, nor did he fear what they could do with him. You see, the more we grow in grace, the less we will grow in fear. We'll be able to overcome the threats of the enemy. And believer, if you are to overcome that fear of man, you need to grow. You need to grow in grace. The stronger you become, the weaker that fear that holds your heart. will become in your life. Here was Paul, just converted. And we're told here in this verse, but he increased the more in strength. And I wonder, child of God, as you stop this morning and you look back over your life, look back to the time of your conversion, can you say, I've grown in strength? As you look back over even the last couple of years, can you say, I've grown in strength? As you look over the last couple of months, can you say, I've grown in strength? As you look over the last couple of days, can you say, I've grown in strength? We're not to be sitting still. We're to be growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Paul, he studied the Scriptures. We find him supplicating with the Savior. We find him speaking to sinners. And he grew. And if you're to grow in grace, you need to study the book. You need to spend time in prayer. And you need, to speak of the Lord. And as you do those things, you will grow in grace. Oh, today, do you know Christ? Are you growing in the faith? Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, none of that's relevant because I'm still in my sin. As Saul on the road to Damascus was transformed by the grace of God, I want to tell you, my friend, that grace is able to change you. It's able to transform your life. It's able to give you a life that's worth living. And he'll be with you. And he'll enable you day by day to grow in grace. Have you been to the cross? Have you been born of the Spirit of God? I trust, if not, that this day you'll seek him, and then you'll grow in grace. Amen.